Hey, welcome to The Conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason, and this is authentic conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And if you've been listening for the last few sessions, there's been a bunch of things come up recently that have pointed me towards reigniting, looking back at again, the importance of dreaming, of the hopes and desires of our hearts. Now, I was interviewed once around this topic, and they said, how could you possibly talk about dreams in the midst of all the chaos and the craziness? And my answer was, it's actually the opposite, is how can you not afford to? It's in the midst of these times that it's so important to dream again, to discover, to create, to explore. If you're in a situation where your job is in question, then it's the best time right now is to actually create again, look at what could you possibly do, where could you study, what things are in your heart to do. As we get this reset to get back to why am I alive, what are the things that are really important to me? For me personally, I've realized there's so many things that I've done because of people around me, not bad things, but because of the good people around me that have shaped me in a direction. And this reset has been brilliant to actually take a step back and look at, are those the things that I'm really called to do? Are those the things that if I get to rebuild my life, are those the things that I want to invest my time in? And so it's critical to do this right now. So what I'm doing is I'm actually walking you through a resource that we have. It's a book called Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life. And I just want to read you just one thing off the back. It says this, how would it feel to have someone not only believe in you and your dreams, but also work alongside you to help those dreams become reality? What would it be like if we lived in a community where everyone was intentionally encouraging one another to discover their purpose and live their dream? We believe that kind of community is possible, and it starts with you and me. Here's what Sean Bowles said about this. Anyone who is in transition or in need of greater direction or doesn't have specific ideas of how to pursue dreams should read this book. I give this book my highest recommendation for the subject. That was Sean Bowles. And Bill Johnson says this, rare is the book that is so intensely practical, yet so powerfully supernatural. I look forward to seeing the effect this book will have on the hearts and minds of believers around the world. So those are the couple of things. Scroll back to the episode before this one, and you'll find the first chapter. And literally, I'm going to walk you through the chapters, or you can get the entire book on Amazon. So here we go. Chapter 2, What is a Dream? A dream is a picture of the future I want to live in someday. As we get started, it's important that we speak the same language. So when we refer to a dream, what are we talking about? John Maxwell, in Put Your Dream to the Test, said, dreams are seeds of possibility planted in your soul, calling you to pursue a unique path to the realization of your purpose. A dream is a picture of the future I want to live in someday. One of the most widely known dreamers of the 20th century was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., remembered especially for his powerful and moving speech, I Have a Dream, delivered in 1963 on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., to a crowd of more than 200,000 people. In this speech, he articulated a picture of the future he wanted to live in, where his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, where black men, white men, Jews, Gentiles, Protestants, and Catholics would hold together and stand on the solid rock of brotherhood to make justice a reality for all of God's children, as was written into this nation's Constitution and Declaration of Independence. Martin Luther King Jr. died in pursuit of his dream, but his dream lives on in the lives of countless people who hold onto that same dream. As Tony Stoltzfus writes in his book, A Leader's Life Purpose, dreams are powerful. Dreams and those who live them can change cultures, redirect nations, and move mountains. Harriet Tubman said, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. Abraham Lincoln said this, that some achieve great success is proof to all that others can achieve it as well. Dreams are hope carriers. They're not bound by time or present circumstances. On the other hand, goals are measurable, time-specific, and require more than just hope. They require action. This book is not intended to just be a broker of hope, but also to be a tool to combine action with hope, to put legs on people's dreams. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't just dream. He made very clear and concise steps to do everything within his power to make that dream a reality. He broke his dream down into goals that would put legs on that dream, and in doing so, he empowered others all around him to do the same. So what are your dreams, and what can you do to make them a reality? Testimony. The power of a dream. Joy Lynn grew up in a highly dysfunctional and abusive family. One thing led to another, and she ended up in her early 30s as a single mum with three children. She was struggling with her children's anger at life, expressed in violence towards her. The cycle of dysfunction was repeating itself. The next outburst of anger with her oldest son resulted in Child Protection Services requiring her to take an anger management class or lose custody of her child. In the midst of this situation, she happened to attend a dream workshop at her local community center. During the dream workshop, Joy Lynn had a revelation of what it means to be a child of God. Hope was released and she was unlocked to dream again. She started to write down her rediscovered dreams, but they could not be contained on one page and spilled over onto the next page. Following this activity, each person shared some of their dreams with the person sitting next to them. Joy Lynn happened to be sitting next to someone who knew her in the community. After the activity, he volunteered, "This is amazing. I never knew that about her." He was commenting regarding all of Joy Lynn's dreams that involved helping others in the community, single mums, fatherless children, people with addictions. He had only known her as a victim of society. When the facilitator asked how this made him feel toward her, he immediately responded, "She's beautiful." As you can imagine, the atmosphere was powerful and Joy Lynn looked more than a little awkward. The facilitator then turned to her and asked her how this made her feel. Her response is one he will never forget. "For the first time in my life, I feel valuable." 4 months later, Joy Lynn was employed full-time at the same community center. She is doing case management and helping in all the areas she had dreamed of. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." So, are all dreams important? It's obvious that Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream is a whole lot bigger than he alone could accomplish. In communicating his dream that day in 1963, it was said of him, "By speaking the way he did, he educated, he inspired, he informed not just the people there, but people throughout America and unborn generations." A Dream Remembered, NewsHour, 2003. So, do all my dreams have to impact the world? Are my small dreams just as valid? Am I allowed to have dreams that just involve me? Am I insignificant or unimportant if my dreams aren't as big as Martin Luther King's dream? All your dreams are important. Launching Dream Culture, the dream coaching program at Bethel Church in Redding, California, has been a fun journey. We've seen that God is truly interested in every part of people's lives, not just the spiritual things or the things that benefit other people. It is also amazing to see how every aspect of someone's life, dreams, experiences, personality, culture, all contribute to who God made them to be and who they are becoming. Even the things that seem like failures or mistakes can be used for good. Life is a treasure hunt of discovering the gold hidden in us and in others. Every dream and desire is a clue to discovering that treasure. One of our dreamers listed a dream to go big game fishing. How significant is that in the scheme of life and death, poverty and injustice, or heaven and hell? However, just 2 weeks after our first meeting, we didn't even discuss the dream. The dreamer was contacted by a church in Miami, Florida, where he was scheduled to speak in a couple of months. The church host stated, "I know you're supposed to leave here on Monday after the conference, but we were wondering if you'd like to delay your return flight because we have the best big game fishing in the world and we'd like to take you game fishing on that Monday." Our dreamer thought to himself, "Are you kidding? Does God really love me or is he into big game fishing?" Is it possible that the God of all creation is trying to communicate something to us? He really does love us and delights in us more than we can imagine. Just like a father with his child's birthday wish list, God watches over us and loves to surprise us with his goodness. Is it possible we're so busy being worried about what he wants us to be, to do, or to have, when all along he's saying, "What do you want?" What father doesn't want the best for his kids? Chris Vallotton, Senior Associate Pastor at Bethel Church, gives powerful illustration of this in describing a child's interaction with his father one Christmas. Imagine that a child walks up to his father and says to him, "Dad, this year it's not about me. I just want the perfect thing that's in your heart that you want to give me." The father is a little surprised at this approach and asks his son, "Are you serious? What do you want?" The son again seriously states that he only wants what is in his father's heart, what his dad's perfect will or desire is to give him. The father continues to grow more perplexed, wondering what has come over his son. Finally, after going forwards and backwards in this exercise for a while, the father declares to his son, "Son, I love you. My heart is only for you. I want to know what you want for Christmas because that is the perfect thing I want to give you." There is a long pause as this begins to register in the son's imagination. Finally, the son replies, "Okay, Dad, I'd love a bright red toy fire engine." The father instantly replies, "Perfect, perfect. That is what is in my heart to give you. That is my perfect desire for you this Christmas." How is it that religion has so clouded our view of our Heavenly Father that we approach Him as orphans or slaves rather than His own precious chosen children for whom He has paid the ultimate price? How have we become so conformed to an image of what a believer is supposed to look like that we've shut down the very expression of life that each of us carries? Jesus came to demonstrate a Father so in love, so overwhelmingly good, so abundantly generous, that we should all be falling over ourselves to be with Him and with those who represent Him. He came that we might have life, a life overflowing with His unlimited resources. Jesus is coming back for a bride and a friend, not a servant or a slave. So what image of the Father do you communicate to those around you? He made you with desires, with dreams, with passions, and He loves to see you come alive as your dreams become a reality. He even hides Himself in the journey of your dreams so that all along the journey you discover Him more and more. Just as a father delights over his son catching a ball or his daughter learning to rollerblade, so also our Father delights in us. A dreamer shared a story of how she had two dreams, one to go to the Olympic Games and one to go to Canada. On the surface, neither dream appeared to be world-changing, significant dreams. But both dreams came true when a client offered to pay her way to an Olympic event in Canada. The really fun part about the story is that while she was there fulfilling her fun dreams, God interrupted her and used the event to speak to her specifically about her future. As she walked into the huge arena where the figure skating event was taking place, she felt almost overwhelmed by a sense that she would take center stage in this kind of arena in the future. God used her dream of attending the Olympics as a part of the way He spoke to her to bring her other dreams to life. You never know how God wants to use your fun dreams to communicate more about your destiny. Another dreamer had a big dream of speaking in the United States House of Representatives. Aside from that dream, she had a personal dream of being able to sing better for no other reason than being able to sing confidently in a crowd and not feeling embarrassed. So, in the process of dream coaching, she made a goal of taking singing lessons for 6 months. At the end of 6 months, her confidence and ability had grown significantly, and suddenly we all realized that in achieving her lesser dream, she had unknowingly prepared and positioned herself for the big dream of speaking in the House of Representatives. There are so many different kinds of categories of dreams, and all are equally important. The Western or Greek mindset tends to compartmentalize different aspects of life and then value each of them differently. But the Eastern and Hebrew way of thinking does not separate one part of life from another. Whatever you do is intertwined with all other aspects of your life and the lives of people around you. As Bill Johnson, Senior Pastor of Bethel Church, states, "God doesn't see things as spiritual or natural, secular or sacred. To God, everything is natural." endless possibilities. So what kinds or types of dreams are there? Below we have listed some different dream categories with a few examples of each. These are certainly not exhaustive, but rather are intended to spark your imagination and broaden your horizons about what dreams can be. There's also a list of dream starters and the dream resources in the back of this book that you can download on this podcast. The possibilities are endless. Sample dreams, big dreams, end global poverty, find a cure for AIDS, become the first woman president. Fun dreams, ride in a hot air balloon, eat a tub of ice cream with friends, ride a unicycle, things to be, a great husband and father, physically fit, a source of wisdom to those around me, things to do, graduate from college, climb a mountain, get married, things to have, a healthy family, our own home, my own business, spiritual dreams, be known as a friend of God, see creative miracles, live from love, physical dreams, run a marathon, beat an illness, go skydiving, financial dreams, become debt free, give a house to each of my children, give a financial inheritance to my grandchildren, legacy dreams, pay for my grandchildren's education, see my children go further than me in God. Emotional dreams, overcome fear, restore a broken relationship, make more friends. If your dream isn't big enough to scare you, it isn't big enough. Kenneth Hagin. Dream activation exercise. Step one, starting your dream list. Now it's time to start writing down some of your dreams. We'll explore this more in later chapters, but for now, we just want to get you started. You will likely want to add to this over the next few days or weeks. The dream list is your list, so you can add to it over time and change it anytime you want. Begin to write down your dreams in whatever order they come to you. Consider the following categories: things to be, things to do, things to have. Now, for each of the above, consider these different aspects of your life and the lives of those around you: physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, legacy. Go back over the sample dream categories at the end of this chapter to trigger more of your dreams. You may also want to go over the dream starters and the dream resources that you can download. There are several lists to suit different personalities types. So you can grab a copy of the entire book. That was chapter 2. Next episode, we're going to go through chapter 3. You can download that. There's links in the show notes below. And you can grab a copy of the entire book on Amazon.com near you. Have a great week.